Tomorrow night, the Gilmore International Keyboard Festival will come to a close with a festival finale concert held in Chenery Auditorium. Music begins at 8 p.m., and it's, again, a collaboration between the Gilmore Festival and the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra. And here to preview the concert with me is Maestro Raymond Harvey. Welcome back to WMUK.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Maestro Harvey, you will be giving a pre-concert discussion about the pieces on the program at 7 p.m. in Chenery. What are some of the things you plan to touch on?
Well, there are three pieces on this program. The first half of the concert is devoted to Beethoven. We're starting with Beethoven's Leonora Overture number 2 for his opera Fidelio. And I will talk a bit about how Beethoven struggled with writing an overture to his one and only opera, because there are three different versions of the overture, and a fourth if you count the one that we call the Fidelio overture. We're playing number 2, and it's not as well known as the Leonora overture number 3. I think that people who really know the third overture will be shocked every now and again when some parts are missing and some parts are added in. But it's great to look at Beethoven's mind and see how he kept on revising and trying to perfect what he had already written. The other Beethoven piece on the first half of the program is the Beethoven Second Piano Concerto, again a more rare piano concerto as far as performances go. The third concerto, the fourth, the fifth are much more familiar. And our Gilmore artist, Rafael Blechacz, will be the soloist in the Beethoven concerto. It's an interesting piece because it's more lighthearted Beethoven. It has a marvelous rondo as its final movement that's one of these catchy, kicking kind of tunes that you can't get it out of your head once you've heard it. So the audience will be singing that at intermission for sure.
I have a little alarm going off that says, was it Beethoven's second symphony or second piano concerto that was actually composed first?
I think you're correct that the second piano concerto may have been in the works before other things. You know, a lot of times the order that we number these works are not necessarily the order of composition, and especially with Beethoven, not the order of his first having thoughts that led to the final work. They're the order of publication. And so that can get kind of confusing.
It's interesting that his Opus 1 publications were chamber music. There are these beautiful trios. So a lot of composers of the day would write music that appealed to smaller groups or could be used in...
I think a lot of the great composers felt that they needed to work up to the bigger works, to the symphonies, to the big concertos. They needed to get their feet wet in chamber music, in songs, in other things that started defining their style.
Who would have been the first soloist for this piece?
It would be Beethoven himself, which is interesting to note, because whenever the composer is the soloist, there are often things that are just taken for granted that the composer doesn't necessarily write into the music because he knows what he means. That's fine for that time and that soloist, but then we try to explore these works years later and we have questions about, well, was that meant to be that, or was that tempo supposed to be the same as that? Kind of hard to ask Beethoven those questions. I do have a chance, though, on the second half of tomorrow night's program. I can ask the composer questions. We're so honored to be presenting a world premiere, first time ever performance, of a brand new piano concerto by Michel Legrand. And this was commissioned jointly by the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra and the Gilmore Keyboard Festival. And we're especially honored that the composer himself, Mr. Legrand, will be the piano soloist. And in my studying of this score, of course, I had lots of questions that I had to ask him. It's so nice to be able to get answers from the source himself.
He has had such an interesting career. He's never allowed himself to be pigeonholed as a strictly classical, strictly jazz, or even strictly a performer versus composer. He does it all.
Right, right. And the amount of work, just the film scores alone, almost every one of his genres have been a lifetime's work of work. So he's had several lifetimes of music all thrown together.
What side of Michel Legrand can we expect on Saturday night?
You can, and I think you'll expect this and be absolutely satisfied. It's a charming concerto that has a lot of humor in it, a lot of life to it. There's nothing that's dull or morose about it at all. The piano solo part is quite brilliant, quirky in certain ways.
But he didn't take it easy on himself.
No, he didn't take it easy on himself, and he knows that he's a good pianist, so, you know, I guess he figures, why not? The orchestration for it is standard, a little bit on the modest side. Unusual is the fact that there's also a piano in the orchestra. Most piano concertos don't have a piano also in the orchestra. He uses percussion in very inventive, spicy ways. The piece is in three movements, a slow movement in the middle. And there are references to other pieces of famous music. And one that I find particularly uncanny is that in the last movement, there's a reference to the chords of Petrushka. Well, the Kalamazoo Symphony just did Petrushka. and I don't know, but I wonder whether he had seen what was on our season and decided, well, why not? The audience will be familiar with this. Throw a little bit of this in.
If I can throw in, I was at that performance and it was a magnificent performance of Petrushka.
Oh, thank you. Thank terrific. You so much.
This closes the 17th year you've conducted the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra.
Yes. Oh,
what are some other highlights when you look back over the last season? I think of Alice in Wonderland, certainly.
Alice in Wonderland was a tour de force in many, many ways. I was so pleased that we had such a large and such a diverse audience for that. We had people of all ages, all backgrounds. We had people who knew the movie and others who did not. And the comments were just delightful. There was one woman who had brought her little grandson to the performance, and she was fascinated by the fact that the little boy spent a lot more time looking at the orchestra than watching the film. It was difficult to put that together, synchronizing the live orchestra with the film, but that was great fun. That was really great fun.
Well, I imagine you're looking forward to sinking your teeth into the Michael Giacchino score to Ratatouille. He's also
yes.
one of my favorites.
Yes.
Danny Elfman was.
I'm hoping that will be a little easier.
Second time around.
There's no chorus in that, so that helps. It was a lot of chorus work in the Alice in Wonderland.
Ratatouille will be next season. Anything else you're looking forward to next season?
Oh, there's several things, but of course, you know, I'm an opera lover, and we will be closing next season with Mozart's Don Giovanni, which hasn't been done here in Kalamazoo for ages and ages. And it's an exciting libretto. It's an absolutely beautiful score. And it's Mozart, so how can you go wrong? That'll be fun. I must also say, on kind of the flip side of the repertoire, also next season we're doing Mahler's Sixth Symphony, the Tragic Symphony, big, powerful piece. And I'm planning to, in a gentle way, talk the audience through a little bit of that symphony as we play it, because there are too many great moments to miss if your head is buried reading the program notes.
Well, maybe those in the audience who were there for Mahler's Fourth during this last season will have caught the bug and be ready for the Sixth. Two seasons ago, when the Gilmore Festival was held, you conducted while Rafał Blachacz, the newly anointed Gilmore artist, performed. And of course, he'll be your soloist for the first half of tomorrow's concert. Mm-hmm. What were some of your impressions of working with Rafał?
Well, he's a doll. I mean, he's really very easy to work with. I'll be anxious to see what kind of a difference there may be in performance now that we're 2 years along. I unfortunately have not had a chance to work with him in the interim, but coming back to working with an artist again, and his coming back to work with the orchestra again, is always a better step. You know each other, you know the environment, so you're not starting from scratch. And so that makes a big difference. I think it's a comfort level that we both feel, and that, of course, helps a performance.
Have you been able to catch any other Gilmore events?
You know, unfortunately, the ones that I wanted to catch were scheduled at the same time that I had rehearsals for something else. That seems to always happen. It's very annoying. maybe we should have our orchestra rehearsals at 8 o'clock in the morning so that I can get to the other concerts. Somehow I'm not so sure that would fly. But I regret that I have not had the chance, because there have been so many fantastic performances on this festival this year.
Well, I know you have a lot to do in the next day to prepare for Saturday night's concert, so I will say thank you very much for telling our listeners about this concert.
My pleasure.